Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 105, and I'm Eric. I am joined tonight by Lou. Lou, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Good? Good. Excited about The Force Awakens coming out on iTunes tomorrow in just a couple of hours.
Yay. Well, are you staying up late to watch it? Only about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. Are you staying up to watch it?
No, I got to work tomorrow.
Oh, and you're not buying it on streaming.
I'm starting to rethink that.
Oh, really? I'm starting to wear you down. We just had this discussion on the Outer Rim.
It's the peer pressure.
Yeah, it is. Yes. I can be very pressuring. Just ask my wife.
She's told me.
Yeah, she's told everybody.
It was on Facebook.
Follow her on Facebook, yeah. Anyway, so this is March 31st. It is not April Fool's Day. We are not including any April Fool's jokes in this. I don't think this is getting... Outer Rim got posted on April 1st. This is probably getting posted the Monday afterwards. But our Patreon donors are probably going to get it early. And by early, I mean instead of Monday, they're probably going to get this on Friday, April 1st, which is yet another perk, another benefit of getting Patreon. Every now and then we post things a little bit early. In addition to the bonus content and other other perks on the Patreon site, which I guess now that I'm kind of, I wasn't even planning to do this way, but now I'm already talking about Patreon. So just wanted to give a shout out. Normally we talk about Patreon at the end of the episode because we don't want it to be too intrusive. You know, we do want people to know it's there and that it's a way that people can help support the show and the network. Give a little bit of info about the fact that the money goes toward the upkeep of the network and the operating expenses, but also toward getting to conventions, different features, like we're trying to get set up with a smartphone app that will be pretty robust. More on that later. But quick shout out to those people who have already donated. Joel, Tim, Derek, Jeremy, Jared, Alex, Jeff. We really appreciate the support that you guys have given. And I want to point out, I feel like I just did this a few seconds ago because it was at the end of the Outer Rim episode, but my favorite perk so far, since we kind of open Random Chatter normally with what we've been up to over the last week anyway, one of the things I've been up to over the last week that has really made my life at work a lot easier is the fact that we've been bringing more people into our Slack community. We have, so Slack is an instant messaging system that's kind of like a cross between IRC, Twitter, and Facebook Messenger, and the old instant messaging services, but it's a group system. You've got different channels you can join. We used to use it for the Forcecast Network for communicating staff-related things because email was just getting too cluttered and stuff like that, but it wasn't really a conversational thing. I'm so glad that the one we have now for Random Chatter is active. There's people talking constantly about movies or jokes, or, you know, they're posting links to things they find online, and, you know, we're making wisecracks on each other and stuff like that. We open this up to our Patreon community. If you donate at least $10, then we will invite you into this closed community, and you can communicate with us directly. You can basically hang out with us all day and just join in the discussions, and it's been a lot of fun.
It has been. It really has been. It's been, you know, like you said, it does keep you going throughout the day. I was in some meeting the other day and my Apple Watch was going off like crazy and I wasn't paying attention because I was in a meeting. I came back to Slack. It was like 50 messages. I'm like, what are you guys doing for the last 2 hours here? It's like, geez.
Don't you guys do any work?
But
you know, but you can change the notifications too. You can change it on a per channel basis. You can have it only notify you when your name is mentioned.
That would require me to read like instructions and stuff.
Oh,
I don't do that.
It's easy. It's easy. So anyway, there's a web interface. There's an app for Windows, an app for the Mac. There's apps for Android phones and iOS. And you know, it's very cross-platform. It's a cool system. And like I said, I'm grateful that it's helped me get through a couple of kind of obnoxious weeks at work by being able to have that open as well. So just wanted to throw that out there. That's one of the things I've been up to this week. And I guess I'll go first with what we've been up to since I'm kind of already doing that. I finished Daredevil Season 2.
Nice.
And I'm going to write a review for Random Chatter. I'm going to have that posted hopefully by the time this episode goes live. I know I can't talk too much about it because A, you haven't seen it, and B, some of our audience hasn't seen it yet either.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, it is so good.
Cool.
I have a tendency after I watch something to be really excited about it. I go see a movie, and when I'm out in the parking lot talking to whoever I went to see it with, you know, we're about to go get in our cars, but we're hanging out, we're talking a little bit about the film. I always rate it more highly than I will later on. Which is why when I rank something on Flickchart, I try to wait a couple of days after I've seen it before I go and rank it. And it's been at least 3 or 4 days now, and I can still say that Daredevil Season 2 is probably one of the best seasons of television I can remember watching. And
awesome.
I've got some diehard favorite shows. I am still a dedicated Lost fan. And I enjoyed the finale, but even if you don't like the finale, I mean, you got to admit, the rest of the show, I mean, how many shows sit there and have you guessing and figuring out puzzles every week and, you know, the mystery of what's going on? So I love Lost. Going back to a show that's a little dated now, might not hold up as well, but was really good at the time it came out, Babylon 5. It was a phenomenal show. Jeremiah was a great show that kind of flew under the radar. I've got some shows that are like sacred in my book that are untouchable. And I have to say Daredevil Season 2 probably beats every single one of them. I liked it that much. I know that's a lot of hyperbole.
Wow, that's high praise. That's awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait for it to eventually come out on DVD. I'm going to buy it just so that I can own it because I feel like I need that completion. I need to have that there. I know it's available on Netflix anytime I want to watch it, but still. It's so good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's on Netflix, Eric.
I know.
Streaming, you know, whenever you want.
But it doesn't matter. I want to have it. Like, I love this show so much, I feel like I need to possess my own copy of it so that if I ever cancel my Netflix account or there's an authentication issue or my internet goes down or something, I probably wouldn't watch Daredevil right then, but I need to feel like I could if I wanted to.
Okay. Well, that's definitely high praise. I have not finished Season 1 yet. That's next on my list after I get my DVR straightened out a little bit because I got way too much stuff on there.
Yeah, it's... Season 1 is really, really good. Really good. Don't get me wrong.
I'm about halfway through that, and I love what I've seen. I haven't had time to go back and watch it. I really want to.
And it continues to get better, episode by episode, all the way through Season 1. But then Season 2, in my personal opinion, brings it to a whole new level. But part of it is because you get past the origin story. Like, you get past a lot of the establishing stuff. And that's why with superhero content, movies or TV seasons, things like that, I generally end up liking the second film or Season 2 better than Season 1 anyway, because now you are in their day-to-day superhero lives. You're not like, oh, my parents were killed and a bat flew through my window and now I'm building the bat suit and, you know, I got hit by a spider and with great power comes great headaches or, you know, whatever. It's like, okay, got through that. Now let's actually go on the adventures. And if they do not spin off Punisher into his own series,
they're talking about,
I don't know what's wrong with them. Well, now they're at the point where they're officially like, I can't say anything about that. And that's what I want to hear. When the guy, the showrunner for Deadpool is like, I can't even talk about the possibility of that. Like, I can't say anything. That's what I want to hear, because that means that something is being worked on.
Right, right.
It is so good. Anyway, so what have you been up to?
Not a terrible lot, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm playing a little bit of Division, still into that.
Okay.
In fact, funny story, last week we recorded an episode of this show during the day. I had a day off from work, and I was running a little late because I was playing Division, and I got caught up in a mission. I'm like, oh, God, I can't. I just got by this hard part, and I don't want to. And then I was like, I got to go on a podcast. So my guy ran upstairs, hid behind something, and he lived for the whole hour. It was awesome. Nobody found me.
Nice.
Came back to it, finished the mission. I'm like, oh, that was really good. Good timing. But I've done that. I've been getting further along on
11/22/63.
Okay. In Hulu, just because I recently read the book and I really wanted to stay with that while it's fresh in my mind. There's some minor changes from what the book is to this, but they've done a good job with it so far. I'm really impressed with how they've scripted the episodes, and you know, the acting is great. The characterizations are pretty good so far. So I'm really enjoying that.
Now let me ask you this.
Yes.
You know my feelings on Stephen King content.
Yeah.
Okay. Would I enjoy 11/22/63?
I think you would.
And you also know my feelings on period pieces, too.
That's true. You don't like those. But, I mean, you said before you like Stephen King's non-horror stuff sometimes better than his horror stuff. And this is definitely a non-horror, you know, story. I think you'd enjoy this. I'm biased because it's time travel, and I like time travel.
I do, too.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think you would. I think you'd like it. Give it a shot.
Let me ask you this. I feel like a lot of Stephen King stuff sometimes becomes mired down in useless character moments.
Okay.
And I understand why, but Tommyknockers is the example I always keep going back to, and it's like, I get what Stephen King's trying to do. He's trying to make you relate to the characters. He's trying to make them feel more human. But, like, you know, the kid playing with particular G.I. Joe figures, and why those particular figures over others. And, like, you know, another character's bowel movements throughout the day. And, you know, in The Green Mile, the fact that Tom Hanks' character had a urinary tract infection or something like that. I'm like, okay, like,
He's very verbose in his books, much to the extent of, you know, wow, I didn't need to have that, you know, chapter.
Right.
The whole chapter could have been taken out because it didn't really advance the story. But what it does get you into the characters more. And
but
sometimes at the end
without...
of the story, it does keep you wrapped up into the story more because now you know that... Oh, so-and-so, because of this that happened that we read, you know, 1,000 pages ago, means more sense now. If that,
but can't you do that without killing the pacing?
He doesn't seem to be able to in his books.
No. So that's my question.
The TV show is definitely more streamlined.
Good, okay.
Because, I mean, you know, in the, you know, the gist of the book is he finds a portal in time that goes back to the same date and time every time you go through it. And his friend that originally found this portal convinced him that you got to go back and live in the past for 5 years to be able to prevent the Kennedy assassination. So every time you go through the wormhole or through the, they call it the rabbit hole, every time you go through the time portal, it drops you off on September 9th, 1958. And he goes in, he has to live in that time frame until the Kennedy assassination in 63 so he can prevent it. And you get a lot of the stories about how he's living. You know, he's a school teacher. He's doing this. He's dating this woman. You know, so it's a lot of stuff that really has nothing to do with the story. But it does give you a good sense of who the character is. And while it was long, it didn't get to the point where I was going, oh, God, I wish I didn't have to read all this stuff. But I could see how it could be for some people.
Yeah.
But the story in the on the Hulu series is moving a lot faster.
Good. Okay. So that makes me feel a little more optimistic. Maybe I will check it out then.
Okay.
I've got to do that. I've still got to do The Man in the High Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, I've been also trying to catch up with DVR stuff. So we have to replace our DVR box desperately.
Oh, well, that's a bad thing because
you can't
make sure
do it until
empty before you do it.
Exactly, and I've got so much to catch up on, so it's probably never going to get replaced. And it's all stuff like, I mean, I've got like 10 episodes of Supergirl to catch up on, and just like, oh, do I really want to? So I've been like going through and checking to see what I've got on Hulu that I can delete. And
right, and that's my problem when I get to a point where I'm behind by more than say 3 episodes, then I get to that, oh, God, it's like, I don't want to watch this now.
Right.
And then I get behind by 5 or 6 episodes, and it's even worse.
Right.
If I'm up to, like, the last episode or maybe 2 episodes, I'm good. I can keep watching those. But, you know, it's like the other day I had to watch 2 episodes of Rebels. They were only half hours. But to get to the finale from last night, so I was like, oh, I got to make sure I watch these.
Yeah.
Oh, first world problems, I guess.
All right. Well, we have our first update to our movie draft.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Here we go. You knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be a week one.
Yeah, and you have to have the biggest movie for week one, don't you?
You got to give me week one. You've seen my picks. You know how badly
you're
going to
get week
go.
One, week two, probably week three, right? I think you're good for a little while here. I mean,
I'm probably going to be good up until, let's see, probably The Huntsman. Nate actually has a large quantity of movies between now and then, so he could push me out. You've got Demolition, Green Room,
which I don't think is going to do really well. I mean,
no, I'm actually probably going to do okay through all of April and the beginning of May, and then I'm just going to like drop off the chart entirely. I'm going to disappear. People are going to be like, Eric, who?
See, I don't think you're going to be up there because, you know, Batman vs. Superman did really, really well this week. I mean, what was its take for the weekend?
$166 million.
Okay, and you haven't adjusted that in our movie draft thing
yet.
Oh,
well, we're going by Box Office Mojo. So once Box Office Mojo updates...
Oh, is that your story now?
Yeah. Well, hey, we decided on that in the episode. Go back and listen.
We did.
To be fair, I mean, if it looks like it's actually 166 and they don't update, I'm going to put it at 166. I mean, we want this to be as accurate as possible.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
No, I mean, I'm going to try to, you know, keep everything accurate and keep integrity. So, yeah, so right now, the only
I will say this. I'm on Box Office Mojo right now.
Uh-huh.
This opening weekend has been revised down to 166.
Okay, then I will go ahead and up. I don't think I can. Yeah, I can't do it on the screen. No,
Right now, it's at 201 million. So you've got, you know, it's doing well. I'm trying to think of what else is here on this list.
Yeah, this update is from actually last week. So what we've got so far, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. You said it was at 201 million so far?
Right now it's 201. Yep.
Okay. So I update the spreadsheet every Monday morning after the weekend totals are in. As of this past Monday, it was at I had it at 170. So I'm looking at, if it's 200, I'm probably looking at, between 4,000 and 5,000 per credit based on like what I spent. I bid 42 on it. Chris has Identicals, and it brought in 1.4 million at the box office last weekend. I don't know what it had this week, but the problem was it was also day and date on iTunes, and I didn't realize that. Get a Job, also Chris's film, was also day and date on iTunes. So I don't know. Like, I think Chris is getting screwed a little bit. I didn't think that that was going to be the case. Also, day and date on iTunes is Mr. Right, which is coming up April 8th. That's one of my films. We didn't have to worry about this for the last few years that I've been trying to get this up and running, and now we finally do, and all of a sudden, now we're getting the iTunes releases on the same day and date as when they hit the theater. So this is something we're going to have to adjust for in the next movie draft. Right now, if I can find an accurate way to reflect the equivalent box office numbers, I will, but I don't think we're going to get any results on what the on-demand rates are. And even then, you could argue for and against including them anyway. So I think Chris and I are just going to take hits in that regard. Sorry, Chris.
Time we have to look at wide release versus, you know, limited release, because
they don't always give you info on that.
No, and some of that could be possibly kind of like if you're doing a fantasy football draft, you know, part of the draft is doing research on your own to make sure you get the players you want. And, you know, this guy, you know, always going to have a surgery halfway through the season, or this guy is not performing well. You know, if you know that stuff, you're going to draft better. And in this case, you know, stay away from the small ones that you may not know about or may not have heard too much of. I think that, you know, bodes maybe for the better drafting person.
Well, I mean, Chris has got some other good picks, too. It's not like,
oh, yeah,
you know, I think Chris picked up some of these just, I mean, he bid like five
Yeah,
for identicals. And I would have done that in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Get a Job was a little bit more. He bid 11, which makes sense. It's got Anna Kendrick. It's got Miles Teller. It's at a time when there aren't any other good comedies out. And I mean, it looks pretty good. I didn't know it was Day and Date. He didn't know. I don't know that anybody else really knew either. So
right.
Oh well. Anyway, so the results so far, based again on Monday. Chris is at 1.5 with a $15,000 per credit. I'm at $1.8 million per credit. And then Lou and Mike and Nate, none of you guys have movies up yet. So, I mean, for the first at least month, it's not even going to be really competitive. It's going to be a few weeks before everybody gets on the board, so to speak.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, next week a week from when you hear this podcast, you've got Hardcore Henry coming up. Sorry. I tried to do it with a straight face. I tried not to laugh.
I had a different window up. I didn't hear what you said. Kiss my what? Hey, Hardcore Henry is going to be awesome.
It might do really, really well. I'm actually looking forward to seeing the movie, and I'm interested to see what it does box office wise. But
it's not going to be that great.
Once my train starts rolling, you know, chugging along here, it's building up speed slowly. You know, my first movie is Demolition, and then I've got The Green Room and Paradox. So those are all fairly, you know, small movies. But
you're stagnant until May.
Yeah, beginning of May, baby. It's going to get real.
Captain America Civil War, Neighbors 2, Angry Birds, X-Men Apocalypse.
Angry Birds is going to do awesome for me.
Those four movies alone. Yeah, the summer movie draft is going to be so different.
What? Just because
it's going to be so different.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, first of all, nobody's going to let you have a movie like Civil War for $32.
What? Come on, that was a good pick.
It was a good pick. But people, now I think we have a better sense of scale. And also, Chris and Mike are not going to hold out until the last minute to fight over one or two films, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake from them. And I picked up something at the end. I forget which one it was. I picked up something at the end that I think Mike should have outbid me on because he had more cash than I did left, but...
Yeah. Well, you know.
Hey, you know, who knows? We don't know until the end what's going to happen here, so we'll see.
We would have had Jay as well, so the bidding would have been a little more intense too, but Jay had some technical difficulties. So, well, a good section
of the East
Coast had.
At least that's what he thinks.
Technical difficulties. Oh, sabotage. Nice.
I got some friends in the D.C. area there with the... Some wire cutters.
Some big wire cutters. You know, something else that's going on right now is This Is Madness, which is the Star Wars March Madness knockoff. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking on Echo Base how unbalanced we think it is. And so we've been talking about kind of doing our own brackets because it's a fun thing to do. But with the Star Wars one, it's like, you know, Han is always going to get to the final four. Luke, Obi-Wan, Yoda, Vader. It's like always the same things over and over again. Boba Fett. And we had high hopes for this year because there were a lot of new characters. You got Finn and Rey and BB-8 and Kylo Ren and et cetera. No. With the exception of Rey, it's the same old so far. So we thought, why don't we come up with our own? And then we saw somewhere, I didn't get in at the beginning, so I've kind of purposely not been paying attention to which site it is, because otherwise I would depress myself. So I feel like I need to give credit to the site that's doing it, but I don't know who it is because I've been actively avoiding it. But somebody is doing a Star Wars Creatures bracket, which I think is ingenious. It's a great idea. So I thought,
I like the concept.
Oh, it's awesome. And there's not like any particular creature that automatically is, you know, there's no Luke Skywalker of the creatures. So I thought, well, why don't we make up our own bracket? So once all this March Madness stuff dies down, I think we'll have a little, you know, a little bit of a break. And then we'll come up with some brackets of our own. We've got some ideas for Echo Base. And I've actually got a couple of ideas for random chatter brackets, too.
Cool.
Based on, you know, heroes and villains of different franchises. You know, I was sitting down brainstorming about this, and I thought, you know, you've got heroes and villains for things like, you know, Thanos and Boba Fett and Deadpool and Captain America and Iron Man and, you know, Punisher and whoever. But then you've got the more realistic things too. So like in an entirely different bracket, you could have things like, let's see here. I've actually got some of them written down. I forget Michael's last name, but the guy from Burn Notice, the primary character. You've got Rick Grimes from Walking Dead. I mean, you know, zombies are kind of fantastical too, but Rick Grimes is a normal human being. So, you know, you've got, you know, Wolverine and Green Lantern and Optimus Prime on one end of the spectrum. But then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got Daryl Dixon. You've got Sydney from Alias. You've got, you know, Veronica Mars or things like that. Bad guys, you've got Dexter. You've got Tony Soprano. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah, those would all be fun. That'd be great.
So I thought, you know, there are different ways we could do something like that. So we'll take a look at that down the road.
And not to bring this up because it's not really our Star Wars podcast. Uh-huh. I just went to This Is Madness site, and everything up until now has been pretty much blowouts. I think when you look at all the matchups, it's been like, you know, 70-30 or, you know, 80-20 type thing. Uh-huh. The two matchups today are Yoda versus Rey and Kylo Ren versus Boba Fett.
Okay, I'm heading there now. Oh, yep. Wow.
Isn't that nice? I mean, close.
It is, and Rey and Kylo Ren are both winning.
I was not expecting Kylo Ren to beat Boba Fett.
Yeah, but I'm a little disappointed with the Yoda versus Rey. I thought Rey would have a stronger. I'm putting my vote in now. I thought Rey would have a stronger.
Too, yeah, I thought it would be a little bit more for Rey, but I'm excited to see a close battle. I like that. It's. You know, she's not just running away with it, or he's not just running away with it. It's close.
I don't know. I would like to see her run away with it. I think a little bit more. 53% for Rey, 47% for Yoda. And the thing is, whoever wins goes up against Luke Skywalker.
Right.
So, and that one's going to be close as well. I feel like if Rey had a really strong lead against Yoda, she'd have a better chance of beating Luke, but I think if she goes up against Luke, she's probably going to lose.
I don't know. I mean, I think she could take it. I mean,
I would have thought she could, but now that I'm seeing how everything else in the draft is resolving itself, I'm less confident.
I don't know. I'll still hold out hope for Rey.
No, I will too. I'll hold out hope. I don't know that I'll hold out optimism.
She's our last hope. What?
Last hope. Oh, okay. Boy. Before we get into any kind of discussion, another thing that we didn't point out at the top of the show that I kind of wish we had, we mentioned it at the end of Outer Rim. We took on a new podcasting endeavor. Nathan Chase, who is a former Random Chatter host, not just of the network, but of the Random Chatter show itself for a while. We used to do Lost Chatter together as well, but he, of course, is one of the co-founders of FlickChart.com, and they used to have a podcast over there called Flick Fights, which was really good, and he decided he wanted to bring it back, and Lou, he asked you and I to join him in that endeavor, and we jumped at the chance. I know you and I both had talked in the past about doing something similar on our own.
Yeah, and this was the opportunity to get back with Nathan and podcasting again, which is great. Mm-hmm. And doing the Flick Fights thing is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've always been big fans of Flick Chart, to the point where you probably think that Nathan pays us for advertising, but he does not. He doesn't need to, because we just love the site so much that we're fans. So that's really awesome. It's not part of the Random Chatter podcast network, and we're fine with that. There's, you know, don't think, oh, why is it not there? There's some kind of issue. No, there's no issue. This is something he owns, and he brought us into his house for that, and we're very grateful for that. And you can very easily find it in iTunes or over at flickchart.com/blog every time it gets posted. And, of course, you know, follow Flick Fights or Flick Chart on Twitter. And you'll get notifications when it goes online, too. But we've done two episodes so far, and it's been a lot of fun. So, pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned a while back, too, I forget where it was I mentioned this. Oh, I think it might have been on the Movie Draft episode. But as much as I've been trying to find a mobile app that's fun anymore, like an actual game to play instead of all these stupid clicker things and, you know, you don't actually do anything. Your brain just kind of goes numb. I realized, like, I didn't even think about it one day. I put, you know, I bookmarked Flickchart as an icon on my, well, it wasn't right on my homepage, but for my iPhone so that it was on one of my homepages.
Right.
And without realizing it, I came to the realization that, like, months prior, I had moved the icon into a games folder. And it hit me. I would rather do this than play a lot of the games that I have on my phone because I get more out of this. Like, it's actually practical. It helps me rank my movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's very addictive. You find yourself playing, you know, with Flickchart, and it's like all of a sudden it's like a half hour later, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, what happened to that half hour?
But it's also cool because you're getting somewhere with it, which is kind of like a game. It's like, you know, you're building experience points and stuff. Well, in this case, you're building a ranking list and you're making it more and more accurate as time goes on. And then that list is actually useful later because as you're talking about movies and stuff, you can go back. I mean, like you and I just had a big discussion at the end of Outer Rim about my favorite Stephen King film or my favorite movie based on a Stephen King story. I'm not going to reveal what it is here because now I can use that as a plug for Outer Rim. But I was able to easily go to Flickchart and say, hey, you know, not only did I really like this one Stephen King movie, not Shawshank Redemption, not Stand By Me, not The Shining, but it's number 9 out of 1,600 movies that I've ranked. But I wouldn't be able to do that, and I probably wouldn't have actually sat down and thought about how much I like this movie in comparison to other movies had I not spent this time on Flickchart just having fun and ranking the films. So
it's also a great way to look back, and you can see, like, I can look at my chart against your chart and see what's the highest ranked movie that on your chart that I haven't seen. And say, oh, let me try that. If Eric likes it, and I know he likes these movies, and he's got the strength pretty high, maybe I'll like that. So
there's
a lot of usefulness to this as well.
Or if you guys, if we wanted to have a movie night, you know, you and your wife and me and my wife, the four of us, they don't have Flickchart accounts. Shame on them. But, like, we could easily go through and look and see what's the highest ranked movie by the general population that none of us have seen.
Right.
And then we can go watch it. I mean, that's how many times, I mean, I at least, you know, I'm thinking back to college and shortly after college, you know, oh, hey, let's all get together and watch a movie. Okay, what are we going to watch? Oh, what about this? Nah, I've seen it. How about this other one? Well, no, I've seen that one. And you know, it's just, and then you settle on something and half the people aren't really into it and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is a way to kind of get around that. Anyway, I should probably step off of the soapbox.
Well, you know, I forgot. You mentioned that I had a soapbox I was going to get onto this week, and totally forgot about it until you said that. I mentioned to you a while ago that I'm still playing that game QuizUp on the iPhone.
Yes.
Well, for those who don't know, it's a trivia game, and what's nice about it is it lets you choose from different categories. So, like, you know, I've got a Star Wars category and a Star Trek category and a movie quote category. And as you, you know, go into the game, you can do a random opponent anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world. And it gives you, I think, 6 questions plus a bonus question. The quicker you answer the questions, the more points you get. So regular questions, I think, are 20 points maximum, and bonus questions, 40 points maximum. And every time you win a matchup, you get multipliers and bonuses, and it kind of adds up your experience points. So you want to keep doing the game so you can keep, you know, up higher in the rankings. And, like, right now I'm ranked, I think, 3rd in Connecticut in Star Wars. So, you know, it's nice to have that kind of stuff going through there. And it's a game. You try to play more and more to do it. Well, if you play multiple days in a row, you get add-on bonuses. I think if you play 5 days in a row, you get like a 5, a 2x bonus to get more points. And that's nice to have. And they also sell upgrades for you. So you can do a double booster or a triple booster. And I've never really been the kind of guy that pays for stuff like that in games. I've thought about it like, oh, yeah, I've got some time to kill me. I'll do this. And no, I won't spend the money on it. But what kills me on it is, you know, the pricing on some of this stuff. the double booster, so two-time booster for the game, is $1.99. Doesn't sound too bad until you read the fine print that says it only lasts for 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. And then the triple booster is for $3.99. It lasts for 30 minutes.
That's
so it's like, wow, you're really nickel and diming me here. You don't have to buy these, but it does help you get your experience points up. And you know, the hyper booster
increases your overall ranking too, then, right?
Yeah, because then I would get, instead of getting 300 points for a game win, you know, a perfect score game win, I'd get, you know, 600 points or 900 points type thing.
Okay, so it doesn't affect the game, like your ability to win the game itself, which is good, but it
does affect your overall ranking.
See,
like, in state,
so you can buy your way to the top.
Yeah, it's frustrating because then, you know, even the biggest one is a 6-time bonus, only lasts for an hour, and it's $10. So then I'm looking further, and I'm like, the game just put ads in, which, okay, fine. You want to make your money. I understand that. I'm not going to begrudge you putting ads in. I usually don't remove ads from games by paying the upgrade price. But I play Quiz Up enough that I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll look into that. So they have one here. It says remove ads. It's $5. I'm like, okay, it's not the end of the world. I can, you know, I can splurge for $5 and get rid of ads.
Sure.
And so I read the fine print that says, enjoy Quiz App without ads for 30 days.
Wait, what? So you're disabling the apps just for a month? Or
exactly.
Disabling the ads.
Exactly. I would pay $5 to get rid of ads for a month, and I have to do it again. So if I wanted to go a year without ads, it would be $60. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense to me.
So you're basically subscribing for $5 a month to this trivia game. And that's aside from the boosters. I mean, that's a Netflix subscription is only, what, 7?
Right.
My gosh.
It just seemed like it was way out of whack. And people called them out on Facebook and stuff. And they're like, well, you know, they even put a screenshot up saying, well, it clearly states it's only good for 30 days. And, you know, okay, if you didn't read the fine print, shame on you, I guess. But it's also a pretty underhanded way to do it from the game's point of view.
Yeah,
but then just the fact that you do that, I'm like, and they even said, well, think of it as a subscription to your game, and you're paying us for it, you know, the benefit of playing the game without ads, and you would do it on a monthly basis. Like,
no.
Wow, that just seems awful wrong.
I mean, I'm not against subscribing to a game, but not at that price. I mean, an Audible subscription is what, about $15 a month.
Mm-hmm.
World of Warcraft is $15 a month. Some other stuff is $10 a month. Netflix is $7.99 a month. Hulu is about the same price. You're trying to put this on the same level as something like Netflix or Hulu?
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's what they're doing.
You're
it
thinking
just doesn't make
a little
sense.
Too highly of yourself there. I mean, I like the game. I played the game before. I haven't in a long time. It's a good trivia game, but I mean, it's probably the best of the trivia games out there, but man, I think they've gotten a little too big for their britches there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and the ads are getting so intrusive in the game too that I'm like, I don't even want to play anymore. It used to be, if you wanted to go and check the ranking before you got out of the category you're in, it would give you a full page ad. Now it gives you a full page ad for every single game for like 5 or 10 seconds. There's also ads at the bottom of the page, and some of them are, there's motion in the ads, like a tiny little banner at the bottom of the screen, but that motion sometimes draws your eye away. And like I said, it's based on the faster you answer the question, the more points you get. And
right.
Some people are really good at the game, and you're up there, and if you don't get 19 or 20 every single question, you're going to lose. And if that motion draw your attention away a little bit, it might cost you a point or two, you know, and it's like, wow, now the ads are affecting the way I play the game, too.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, that's my soapbox. I just wanted to get that out there.
That's, I don't know. I think that's really sad. I mean, I get that they want to make money from it, and I support that. I think that
sure, I'd begrudge nobody for making money on the games they develop.
But
do it in a responsible way. Make sure you're not gouging me for this, and you know, I don't know. It just seems way too much.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, I will put my soapbox away now.
That's a pretty fair soapbox. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, we're already 40 minutes into the show.
It is random.
I guess that's our episode for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, but I feel like we didn't really talk about much.
Yeah, we didn't.
What I was going to talk about for this episode was we've talked before about Deadpool's R rating. And the concern that that was going to bring a bunch of other R-rated movies for superheroes and stuff like that. And then we talked about the fact that Suicide Squad said, no, we're going to keep the PG-13 rating. In fact, apparently they're doing reshoots right now that, if the rumors are true, are for the purpose of lightening the tone a little bit. Which I am a little more worried about that than I am anything else. I don't think that this movie really should have too light a tone. But then there's Batman versus Superman, which is getting an R-rated director's cut on DVD, but the theatrical release is still PG-13. But one of the big complaints about it, of which there have been several, but one of them is that the body count is apparently ridiculous. And people are thinking Zack Snyder is just like a glutton for killing everybody off. There are some big name tertiary characters who get killed off too. And I don't want to give any spoilers. Zack Snyder's talking about it in interviews, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, this character, I figured, you know, we'll kill him off, and it'll show that that everybody's at risk, and you know, because this character is really close to blah blah blah. This other character, I won't identify which one. And, I think it's more fun that way. We're just having fun with it. And then he talks about the death of Robin. That's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer that he's saying Robin has been dead for about 10 years when this movie starts. He doesn't clarify which version of Robin or anything. Again, not a spoiler. He's like, yeah, I just thought that'd be a fun thing to do. It's like, man, you just like seem to have fun with killing people. And of course, there was the end of Man of Steel, where basically a whole city dies.
Mm-hmm.
And the body count in this one's pretty high, too. And then apparently Batman has no compunctions about killing people, which is generally considered to be very different than the comic books. And yes, I know he's apparently killed people in the comic books, too, but
it's not his main thing.
Yeah. We haven't seen the film, so we're not speaking to specifics. We're speaking to what's been reported online. And again, this is spoiler free. We're not going to get into any details or anything, but apparently, from what we've been led to believe, now someone in the chat room who has seen the film, this is Carrie saying that's actually not true. Okay. So that's good to hear. I'm glad. See, this is one of the reasons we have the chat room. This is a wonderful thing.
They keep us honest.
They do. Well, it's not us in this case. They keep the internet honest, which is a much harder part to do. Now, unfortunately, there's a 30-second delay. So as we're talking about this, it's going to take her a minute to catch up. So that's good to hear, though, that part at least isn't true. Okay. But you've got a movie that is PG-13, and yet the death toll is apparently really high. It's very dark. The universe that Zack Snyder has created, people are actually dubbing it the Murderverse on Twitter and Facebook. Yeah. So you've still got this really dark tone. So it doesn't have to be R-rated for it to be a little too far. And then on the flip side, an entirely different argument. For Marvel, on the television side, you've got Daredevil, which is definitely R-rated. You've got Jessica Jones, which is definitely R-rated. Luke Cage appears in Jessica Jones before he gets his own series. That's definitely R-rated. If the Punisher gets his own series, then oh my gosh, he better. Daredevil season 2, I just finished it. Incredible. That would be R-rated. So they're taking an R-rated stance with the television series. They don't do that with the cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't really been any crossover with the characters between the two universes, though they do take place in the same universe. And when I say the television stuff, I mean specifically Netflix. Obviously, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, that's still more family-friendly. But I don't know. It just seemed kind of interesting that we're talking about not wanting to see the superheroes go all R-rated, and yet all of the Netflix stuff has been R-rated and has been phenomenal. And then we see something like Batman that's not at all R-rated, and it actually is exactly what we were trying to avoid by not making it R-rated.
Right. Yeah, it's a tough call there because, you know, I've been probably the most vocal one on the show here about saying I don't want all these shows going R-rated. I don't want every superhero movie coming out now to be rewritten as an R-rated movie because I don't think it needs to be. I think there's enough stories to tell without crossing that line. You don't have to. And yet, I do like Daredevil. You know, it's a good series. And yes, it is rated R. It's a little more mature.
Right.
But it's not a movie. I mean, the movie to me, I think the minute you make it an R-rated movie, in most cases, I mean, you know, Deadpool is the exception. In most cases, you're limiting your audience and reducing your box office. So that's why up until now, movies have strived and fought to get a PG-13 rating versus an R.
Right.
And, you know, not everything has to be about being R-rated adult situations, you know, all that kind of stuff. And trying to force it into that is what I don't want to see. Because the minute you start forcing it to fit a mold, you're going to make decisions that are going to feel cheap, or you're going to cut corners, or you're going to just piss off the fans because you're not keeping true to the character's nature.
You're making decisions for arbitrary reasons at that point.
Right, not for story reasons, for something else. Right.
Right. And that's the thing. Daredevil has to be... I mean, it doesn't have to be R-rated, but it needs to be a little bit dark if you're going to do the story properly, because what's going on in Hell's Kitchen, it's about the corruption of criminal organizations and things like that. And, I mean, in hindsight, it seems like such an obvious choice, but the Ben Affleck Daredevil wasn't R-rated. And on the flip side, the Batman movies, I don't know. I mean, the Christopher Nolan ones were definitely darker and more mature.
Yep. But so they went there without getting that R rating, too, though.
Yeah. But I could see an R-rated Batman if they're doing something similar to what they're doing with Daredevil. If they're really focusing on the organized crime aspect of it and that. And it's less about the over-the-top... you know, we don't have in Daredevil, we don't have things like Killer Croc, and we don't have the Joker, and we don't have, I mean, you know, Batman's rogue gallery, they're a little more human anyway. It's not like Superman where you've got Bizarro and Brainiac and Doomsday and all that. So I don't know. I mean, Superman's a better example of why you wouldn't have to do that than Batman is. I could see a Batman style series or series of movies in the vein of Daredevil. But when you're tackling things like organized crime and the effect that it has on the lives of the people in a community, you do have to get a little dark. And I can see Jessica Jones. You're dealing with a criminal, a psychopath, sociopath, whatever, who's a telepath, not just who can read minds, but who can control people. Yeah, you're going to get really dark. I mean, that's probably the ultimate villain superpower when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
You're not going to have a villain who's going to have a lot of restraint. And that's one of the things that the show deals with. And so... I think it's so much better, the story that they've been able to tell, as a result of allowing the villain to kind of be no holds barred, so that you can show just, you know, how frightening a scenario that kind of situation would be. So,
I agree 100%. And like you said, it's about the story. That's what we want them to stay true to and stay, you know, ahead of any kind of meddling from the network or the studio.
Well, then let me ask you this. Because you are someone who has been a proponent of, you know, as you said, not going the R-rated route with the films just for the sake of going the R-rated route, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You said a moment ago that it's different because it's TV and it's not film. So aside from the argument that it affects the box office draw as a result of audience availability, why does that matter? Like, why is it okay for Daredevil to basically be R-rated but not a Batman film?
I knew you were going to ask that. I wish I had a good answer for you. I don't.
Okay. At least you're honest about it. That's
yeah,
cool. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to. I can't put my finger on what it really is, but it has to. You know, to me, it has to do with, you know, it's still a monetary thing for the studios. In this case, Netflix has the studio.
Yeah.
You know, they have a subscriber base that they know they're going to get. They don't care and or worry about who's watching it. That sounds like I'm making Netflix into being this evil corporation that's trying to corrupt young kids. But, you know, the fact of it is, there isn't that limitation on who can see the film.
Right.
You know, once you have that access. I mean, when I sign into Netflix on a new computer or my, you know, DVD player downstairs or something, it says, you know, is this Lewis watching or kids? And I always chuckle because I don't have any kids, but, you know, they do try to put that in place, but
right.
It's just a click. It's not like it's like, oh, I'm not Lewis, so I can't click on that. So they're going to make their money no matter what. They know what the draw is for it, and they're not worrying about filling seats on box office stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why I don't think it matters as much for a TV show as it does for a movie. But I don't really have any facts to back that up.
Well, television shows are treated differently than movies, too, especially on Netflix, when you look at marketing. My son has seen marketing for Batman versus Superman, and heck, there's toys everywhere, too. And there's no way I'm going to take him to go see that. But he doesn't even know that Daredevil is out there. He doesn't know who Jessica Jones is. Like, there's no marketing that could adversely affect the kids, really, for those. When you have a movie, there's, you know, the television commercials have movie trailers constantly, and mm-hmm. and they're all over the place. And I guess even if you look at something like Supergirl or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Arrow, they generally run the ads at the same time as other similar types of shows. They run ads for primetime shows during primetime. The kids stuff, normally they run different ads.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, the Netflix stuff, which is the R-rated content, is completely devoid of that altogether, because it's just on Netflix. You have the big banner ad on the Netflix viewing thing, but and again, like you said, there's a whole different kids section. Not that kids are only allowed to get into that, but like my son, he knows that if he wants to watch something on Netflix, he turns on Netflix and he clicks his name. He has a profile set up for him, and he wants to do that because that's where all of his stuff is favorited. And it only shows kid stuff, and it's an interface that's easier for him to use.
Until he gets older and figures out, he can click on your name, he can see other stuff.
Well, and then we have a whole different problem. But, yeah, I mean, that day's coming, but again, that's a different issue.
Right,
so
right.
It's targeted differently, I think. So with movies, it's a little harder to keep the permeation of all of that marketing from kids, maybe. I don't know. I'm thinking it through, but I guess after seeing Daredevil, I kind of wish that they had done that with Batman.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, you know, like I said before, I mean, I don't see a real problem with it. I don't want them making those decisions based on just, hey, look at Deadpool did really well. Let's do the same thing. If it fits the story and it fits the character, by all means, make it rated R. You know, you wouldn't make a Wonder Woman movie rated R. It wouldn't make sense. Batman's always been kind of dark. I can see that being an option for rated R movie. But then, like you said, we had the Nolan movies that were dark in general, and they were rated PG-13 or PG. You know, to me, dark and gritty is another word for realistic, and that to me is why I want to see the movie. Whether it's rated R because they're, you know, dropping the F-bomb every 5 seconds, or there's, you know, nudity or something, that's different. And as long as it doesn't stick out in the scene, like, oh, they just put this in here to make it rated R. But if it goes with the story and goes with the scene they're doing and not, you know, doesn't take me out of that scene, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. The Nolan stuff wasn't R-rated, but then the last Nolan movie wasn't that great. And even Dark Knight, I thought, had some aspects of it that were a little overrated. But I guess, like, if you look at Gotham right now, which I, to be fair, I haven't really watched more than the first two or three episodes because I thought the show was crap. But part of it is I think it's still a little too fantastical. And if they went something more like Daredevil, I don't know. I guess Batman is the perfect fit for the Daredevil show, in my opinion.
Okay.
Him as the detective, him as the guy on the street. Yeah, he's wearing a costume, but he's still just a guy. He's not a superpowered whatever. And I mean, modern technology is caught up to the point where even a lot of his gadgets are more realistic now. Like, they could actually work, and if not really, they're at least really, really close.
Right.
So
right. And that's why I like that in the Nolan movies. It felt as if this was real world. It wasn't, you know, slapstick humor. It wasn't some kind of corny stuff going on. It felt like you could take that movie, pull it out of the movie, and put it into the real world, and it was a real guy doing these things for real.
Did you ever read, have you read much of the Batman stuff at all?
No.
Okay. There are two pieces of Batman fiction that are must reads. One is The Dark Knight Returns. It ranks right up there with Watchmen and a very, very small group of comic book graphic novels or miniseries that are considered iconic, industry-changing. You really need... Have you read The Dark Knight Returns?
No, I have not.
Okay. That is one of those where you must get it somehow. I've got at least one, if not two, physical copies somewhere. I just don't know where they are. I've probably purchased at least one digital copy as well. This is one of those things where I will just say you need to automatically go buy it.
Okay.
Like tonight. Like I said, it's a game changer. It redefined the industry. It redefined comic book movies. We could have a whole discussion about that. In fact, shameless plug, the Retro Convo, in fact, did just that. Their first episode that appeared on the Random Chatter Network focused on The Dark Knight Returns and was an incredibly excellent episode. But Lou, don't listen to that until after you read the comic book. So anyway, the reason I bring this up is because Frank Miller, who wrote that, also then later on wrote Batman Year One. And it covers the first year that Bruce Wayne spent being Batman. Like, you know, he had just come back from getting some hand-to-hand combat training, martial arts training, stuff like that. He came back to Gotham. He decided he was going to try to fix things. He's out on the street, like trying to clean up the street. just in normal clothes, and it doesn't have a costume yet or anything like that. He realizes the need for a costume. He gets one, etc. But there's also Jim Gordon is just coming to town and is just a detective. And it's him coming into this corrupt police force and him having to deal with, you know, he can't uncorrupt it. He has to work within this corrupt system and yet not allow himself to become corrupt. And it's a fascinating story, but it's very much what I wish we could get from an ongoing Batman series. It's basically the Daredevil TV series, but for Batman.
Be good.
It's another one that I would highly recommend. And,
okay.
Especially because of this conversation and especially because of what we're seeing right now with television series and comic books and stuff like that, I think that it makes year one all the more relevant from a stylistic point of view, from a storytelling point of view. And I would highly recommend that to you as well, but drop everything and go get The Dark Knight Returns.
Okay.
Keep it two things in mind. Number one, the artwork is a little bit stylistic. It's hit and miss in some places. When it's hit, it's incredible. When it's miss, it's atrocious. Just bear with it. Keep in mind you're reading it for the story, not for the art.
Okay.
And then number two, keep in mind that this is set in like the 1980s, like Ronald Reagan is president. I guess DC's created like a side universe for that too. So it's weird. But this is like in the future. It's supposed to be set in the future in the sense that like Batman has aged. He's been in retirement. It's not like the real comic books where it's like it's still 2016 and yet Bruce Wayne hasn't aged at all. He's still the same age as he was in 1960. Right. So, you know, keep that in mind while you're reading it too. It'll make sense as you're reading it, but
okay. And it's The Dark Knight Returns.
The Dark Knight Returns. It okay. was a, I think it was a 4-part miniseries, but it's been reprinted for decades now. It's just a complete graphic novel. I'm sure you can get it in Comixology on your iPad. In fact, I would say that would probably be a good way to get it. But whatever way you need to get it, I would get it. I mean, you can get it for Kindle, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do most of my stuff on my iPad now through Comixology. So.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure Comixology has it. I mean, they'd be stupid if they don't. It's probably the best-selling comic book of all time.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah, so have you read The Watchmen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's Frank Miller wrote The Watchmen too, didn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah. So same guy, same kind of tone of a story. I would say the artwork in The Dark Knight Returns is a little better. But that's it, I guess. We're at about an hour. We should probably wrap up the episode. We had a lot of tangents this time around.
We did.
I feel kind of bad.
No, it's random chatter.
Well, that's...
I mean, it's true. Right in the name. If people have to expect that. If they don't, yeah. Then, you know, hey, shame on you. It's kind of like the app.
That's
you know,
true.
Doing $5.99 for 30 days worth of ad-free. We warned you. It's random chatter.
Yeah, and it's not even in the fine print. It's right there in the title.
But no, I know what you mean. Man, I do feel bad if we don't get a good discussion sometimes when we're...
Well,
going
I think we
off
had a good,
on several things, but I think we had some pretty
discussion.
Good tangents tonight.
It just wasn't themed. It wasn't topical. I'm going to have a heck of a time coming up with a title for the episode when I go to post it. That's the hard part.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I need to get going, too, because in 11 minutes, it's going to be midnight, and I'm going to be logging into iTunes and hitting refresh over and over and over again all night.
Oh, geez. Is it coming out right at midnight? Or
of course not.
Okay. Probably like 3 a.m. So it's midnight.
Midnight will be 3 a.m. Eastern, midnight on the West Coast. And then on top of that, they probably won't actually get it up and running until, I don't know, normally when there's a TV show that's supposed to be posted, it's like 11 or 12 a.m. East Coast time.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'm not actually...
Don't they know people are waiting for this movie?
You would think. You would think. I know there are going to be places that are probably going to be doing like midnight releases for DVDs.
I mean, there's so many people that haven't seen it yet. They need to you know, get that out there quickly. Because it didn't do well in the box office and nobody saw it.
They were all waiting for the DVDs.
Yeah.
I would love to see the numbers to see what percentage of the people who buy it are people who already saw it in the theater.
Mm, that'd be good.
I know it's going to be the vast majority, but I'm really curious.
Or those of us that saw it on a ship.
Oh, hush. We're going to have to do a random chatter cruise someday. It'll be fun. You know, and we are going to do a random chatter meetup at New York Comic Con this year.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Don't know how. Don't know where.
Somewhere in New York.
We are open to suggestions. Well, we're not staying in New York, though. Our hotels are going to be about an hour away. So we're going to have to come up with something that we can, like, make work. It's going to need to be after hours so that, you know, people get what they need to out of the convention. So,
well, we can still do that. Take a later train home, too. That's not the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
No, hey, city that never sleeps. Come on.
Yeah, but the subways do. And I do. Well, the subways don't, but the trains out of town do. Anyway, yeah, so New York Comic Con, we'll set something up.
We get some time.
Yeah, and if I can open my gaming store, we'll have a permanent hangout place right here in Connecticut. People can come visit us.
If you do, that'd be great. Did you get a chance to read those links I sent you on Barcade?
Yes. Oh, I read like two of the three. That looks awesome.
Looks pretty cool, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It does.
We're getting a bar/arcade thing called Barcade here in New Haven, Connecticut pretty soon. This month, I guess, actually April. And there's four or five of them around the country now. Boston, I think Philly, New York maybe has them. But they're retro stand-up console games in arcades put into a bar. So you can get your favorite adult beverage and play some games.
I think it sounds great.
I think so, too.
You know, we talked before, too, about a place that had a premise. It was a restaurant that did board games.
Hmm.
A restaurant / bar. I think that'd be cool, too. Oh, and you know what? Little side note. I should probably mention this offline rather than on the show. But I just found out that I now have an official reason why I need to start playing the Fantasy Flight Games role-playing game.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, if anybody's listening and you have any experience with this gaming system and are willing to run an online Skype or Google Hangout-based Star Wars RPG campaign, let me know. I know we asked way back in the day on the Forcecast, and we got some responses. I don't know if I still have those responses or not. I might have to hunt those down if I do and contact some of those people again. If you contacted me back then about it, feel free to contact me again now. We weren't able to go through with it back then, but it looks like I kind of need to now. I'll explain more about that later, but yeah, get in touch with me.
You've got my interest piqued.
Yeah, I'll explain it to you in a minute here. But for those who do want to get in touch with us, you can send us email randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Is going to be the best way to contact us via email. And among other things, we are always welcome to people sending us discussion ideas, topics that you want us to cover, give our opinions on, or maybe fight back and forth. Maybe Lou and I will throw down and get into it about something. So send us your ideas for different things. Follow us on Twitter. You can get to us at twitter.com/randomchatter. That'll get you the entire network. We're also active on Twitter on the Outer Rim, not the Outer Rim, I'm sorry, the Echo Base Twitter account. We kind of have a tendency to post all of our Star Wars related stuff there, so it's pretty active as well. So that one is Echo Base Podcast. I'm on Twitter at Eric Blythe, that's ERIKBLYTHE. And Lou?
I'm on Twitter at my name, it's Lou Secchi, LOUSECKI.
All right. I would recommend you also follow Flick Chart and Flick Fights on Twitter as well, because when we post new Flick Chart episodes, there'll be notifications on Twitter and you can hear us there as well. In the meantime, you can hear all of our shows on the Random Chatter Podcast Network at randomchatter.com. So check out the lineup there. You can subscribe to us in iTunes or on Stitcher. Every Tuesday and Thursday nights, starting around 9 o'clock to 9:30. You can listen to us stream the show live, randomchatter.com/live. You can also find us in Ustream by searching for Random Chatter. We have a chat room there you can participate in as well. What else? We don't always start right on time at 9 o'clock, but we at least try to have some music or some videos going in the chat room, in the stream there while we're, you know.
Right. Sometimes you get behind the scenes together. Stuff as we're, you know, frantically writing show notes.
Yeah. Thanks again. We mentioned at the top of the show, thanks to the Patreon donors. Just a quick shout out to them one more time. If you'd like to get more information on how to help support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. We really appreciate that. And before I get to the disclaimer, anything else we want to add, Lou?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
All right. So the music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. This podcast is copyright 2016 randomchatter.com. And as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Take care, everybody.
See ya.